One, the more recent interactions you may have had with a federal worker, the more likely you were to have a positive opinion overall.
And in fact, a dramatically different opinion.
Absolutely. And the other being that younger people have a more optimistic outlook on government than older people, than senior citizens, which if you think about it is interesting because, or maybe it's because, you'd think seniors would have more interaction with the government than younger people,
yeah.
At least at this point. Is this because older people have had that interaction and they're displeased with what they've seen? Is it because of Obama and his efforts to sort of reach out to younger workers or younger people and younger workers and try to get them to work for the government? That's not clear. But it does show some pretty stark generational divides in a way that we didn't necessarily think was going to be the case.
And talk a little bit about the poll itself. This is of 1,000 people, and I saw a bunch of on Twitter and Facebook people saying, hey, this is only 1,000 people, and they're saying it's everything. I mean, this is a standard poll. You guys worked with, Princeton and made this happen. So I understand people like to shoot the poll rather than focusing on the message, but it's, you guys did a normal poll.
This is a statistically muscular survey of Americans, and I say that with all due respect to the other marketing groups and publications here in town that try in different ways to survey either federal workers or federal managers or customers of the
right.
federal government. You know, this was a nationwide random sampling of Americans.
And this is looking at Americans. This isn't, I mean, OPM talks to feds about whether feds like their jobs or not and those kinds of, you're asking.
Regular, everyday folks, taxpayers who live all over the country. I talked to a retiree from Washington State, a retired salesman from Nashville. I had a colleague who talked to a doctor in Long Island. And we heard from people all across the country who I think in many ways have conflicting and contradictory views. But at the same time, like I said, the more that they know about the public sector, the more they interact with it, the more likely they are to have a better opinion of them.
And that's what I wanted to get into a little bit, because as I was seeing it, I often think, and as I talk to folks outside the Beltway, so to speak, or outside of the federal circle,
mm-hmm.
They generally don't. They don't necessarily understand the difference between a federal employee and their congressman and what the president does and what a political appointee. Did you get a sense as you're talking to these folks, did that make a difference? Are people just angry at Washington because the economy stinks and they don't see things happening? Or is this focused on feds themselves?
No, it's generally government at all levels. It was funny. You try to get them to talk only about the federal sector. And they couldn't do it because to them it's either their anger that's clouding their inability to differentiate, or they just don't know or care about the difference. And frankly, who blames them?
Yeah.
You know,
that's not their
taxpayers.
Job.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So most taxpayers, the government is the government, whether it's the dog catcher or the guy at the Social Security office.
And did you see that these, I mean, because a lot of this stuff, and we've seen, have seen all sorts of, how many things have we written or talked about whether feds are paid over or under, blah, blah, blah. And it's almost like there's not really enough data, but this is a good indication of what perception is, that feds are overpaid, over-benefited probably, we're not getting value for what we're spending.
Yeah, and you know, frankly, I would have loved to have done this poll this time last year, before
yeah.
USA Today started publishing all those comparisons that got picked up on by, you know, conservative think tanks, Republican lawmakers, talk radio, and whatnot. I think a lot of that is driven by those efforts, and I think a lot of it is driven by Republican candidates, Tea Party folks who are out there right now saying that, you know, if I go to Washington, I'm going to look at government spending, and one of the big things I'm looking at is pay and benefits for federal workers. Eric Cantor, the House Minority Whip, I talked to him on Friday. He was unapologetic. He said, look, I go out there on the campaign trail right now. You're talking to people who have been laid off, who are trying to work on the bottom line. They have to cut back. Well, at the same time, in their view, you know, the federal government is growing. 12% growth in the workforce, a lot of that driven by Bush-era changes, a lot of it in the security realm, you know, defense, homeland security, veterans affairs. But they see growth in the government when they see cutbacks and contracting in the private sector. And why shouldn't they be angry? You know, will we see a serious attempt at fixing this come January when Republicans have a little more say about things? You know, it remains to be seen. I tried to press him and others on specifics, and they just said, no, we got to look at everything. Well, that's the cop-out for we don't really have anything solid just yet. But
right.
They'd like to see a one-year freeze. They'd spend that year to figure out where they should make the cuts, and then we'll see.
And this also comes, one of your colleagues got to talk to the president on Friday,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden he's using the F word, and we're using a word that we can use on radio, furlough.
Yes, he did at least suggest that it's on the table. This was during a conversation with columnist Joe Davidson, is the colleague who got to chat with him, and he brought it up. And frankly, before the meeting, we had urged Joe, you know, bring this up, and we thought, well, maybe he'll take the bait, maybe he won't, and he really did. And he provided a pretty nuanced defense, which was, look, we do have to look at this. In non-security agencies, it is a possibility. But at the same time, you know, we're not going to touch defense. We're not going to touch Homeland Security, Veterans Affairs, probably not the Justice Department. And in some cases, our highly skilled government workers, doctors, lawyers, are underpaid compared to their private sector counterparts, whereas the lower skilled workers are probably paid a little more, he said. So it's evident the president has a pretty good understanding of this debate. It's consistent with what guys like John Berry and other federal officials say. But I think he had to say it, because were he not to say it, it leaves a Republican line of attack out there, and it perhaps signals that the president is willing to sit down and talk to Republicans about this in a serious way and say, yeah, I understand that we might have to make some changes, at least keep some positions open. He was using the F word. He was also using the A word. Attrition is what he was suggesting as well. And frankly, I think that might be more likely than furloughs.
The other thing that was gurgling out there in Facebook and Twitter was, hold on, do we have any historical data? And you talked a little bit about it, that it would be great to have done this a year ago before a lot of these stories were written. And there are a couple of questions where you do go back to like 82 and do have some kind of comparison. But by and large, most pollsters don't ask these questions.
They don't, or if they do, they're asking it broadly of the public sector, not just the federal sector. 1982, I think it was, when we did it with ABC during a similar recession, and the old Council for Excellence in Government used to poll every so often on the federal sector, but not often enough. And so I think what we institutionally at least see this as is a good baseline from which to move on with in the future, and I think there's hopefully a good institutional commitment here at the Post to look at this much more often. And I think to sort of expand on this, you know, you ask people what they think about people being overpaid, underpaid in the federal government. Well, the question is, well, what do you really think is the definition of being overpaid or underpaid? And I think that's another line of questioning we should look at in the future, we hope to look at, and get into a little more of, well, if they are overpaid or underpaid, is that a bad thing? Is that a good thing? And what might you suggest America should be done differently about that?
And it's interesting. What's your broad takeaway, having spent a lot of time talking to folks, having culled through these numbers? Your broad takeaway is what?
My broad takeaway is that this is pretty consistent with what I expected. And the fact that respondents can't differentiate between the local versus the federal government level, I don't think is surprising. And I don't think anyone in Fed world here in Washington should try to force the rest of the country to think otherwise. You know, in the end, whenever I get beat up by people asking, why aren't you writing good stories about the government? Why aren't you writing about the fact that we did our job? It's like, well, you know, frankly, you're supposed to do your job. Your job is to deliver those services, is to make sure there isn't waste, fraud, and abuse, is to, you know, look out for whatever it is you're supposed to do. When you're not doing that, that's a problem. When you are doing it, well, you're doing what you're supposed to do. And right now, the country doesn't think the government's doing everything it can. And I think does look at those numbers, it suggests, without any hindsight, without any real understanding, they look at the bottom line expansion of government and say, how come they get to grow when we don't get to? Well, they may not have all that understanding that a lot of this happened during the Bush administration. A lot of it is driven by security and defense. And those are things, frankly, that they would support. So I think if they understood that more, they might not have as big an issue with it. But this confirms a lot of what I had heard, even just going home to upstate New York and talking to family and friends there, or, you know, talking to the people we talked to on the phone over the course of reporting this out.
The only thing I'd push back on is I think there is some, and this isn't you, but there is some unfair reporting that goes on out there. And USA Today last week did a story about recovery.gov. And,
yep.
You know, overall, overwhelming amounts of money has been reported and done. There was, $1 million or what, I don't remember what the number was, very small compared to $800 billion
right.
of small amount, and that's what ends up in the headlines. My perception, and this is, I'll get off my soapbox in a second, but that's not fair, and feds are doing everything they can to try and make it happen and try and do their jobs effectively, and then you get slammed with something like that. It just seems a little unfair to me.
Well, and go back 2 weeks to when there was that Inspector General report that said that the Social Security Administration sent stimulus checks to dead people.
Right.
Well, I immediately said to editors here, and we reported it very clearly, but, you know, this is nothing new.
Right.
These kind of mistakes are made, and agencies work or don't work to correct them. But to suggest that that makes the stimulus a failure is not correct, because
not fair.
It's kind of standard operating procedure. It just happens. There's no way that you can avoid those types of things.
Let me ask you, because out of all this, and I agree with you generally, none of the numbers shocked me. It's great to have data to actually put out there and have hang something on. But one number that did really surprise me was you asked people if you had a close friend
mm-hmm.
who was just getting out of school, would you suggest that he or she pursue a career in government? And the answer, again, overwhelming.
Yeah, overwhelmingly for the most part, yes.
Yes.
I thought it was most interesting.
So we hate feds, and yet, please go be one.
Which is why I think when we ask the question overpaid versus underpaid, and people say they're overpaid, that doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad thing.
Yep.
I think if people had the opportunity, they would certainly enjoy that. But because they're not on that end of the paycheck, they think otherwise. What's also interesting about those, again, this is where you saw the generational difference. Younger workers, much more than older people, younger people versus senior citizens, were much more willing to recommend a government career. And Republicans and conservatives overwhelmingly said, no way would I recommend federal work to a younger relative or friend who was just getting out of school.